Oh, my goodness. Here we go. T.J. Yates checks into the game for the Houston Texans. Savage got off to a good start, but the Texans have struggled on their last few possessions, and T.J. Yates will play for this team for the first time in 2 years. Tom Savage is walking off to the locker room.
So, obviously, that was the scenario right about then where all the controversy started, and that's where T.J. Yates comes in relief of Tom Savage. T.J. Yates will be getting the start this week. But a lot of hand-wringing over how it was handled on the sideline. Bill O'Brien, apparently, who tries to stay away from the media.
Tries
to stay away from the media. At least heard some of the coverage of that whole ordeal. And I watched the clip yesterday of him in the press conference. And I didn't really think much of it, but then, and we'll play that clip for you in a second, but just listen to it with this in mind, and especially if you listened to our show yesterday. Mike Meltzer was very, very nervous that Bill O'Brien was talking about him, saying, we discussed it yesterday on the show, and I brought up coaches seeing replays and discussing whether to challenge, but it wasn't really an opinion. This is what Bill O'Brien said in the press conference yesterday.
I heard somebody say this morning, something I was listening to this morning, that well, they have all these replay videos. When Bill O'Brien said that he didn't see the video, what the heck is he talking about? I mean, that's coming from somebody who has absolutely no idea what they're talking about.
No idea.
And I'm so tired of hearing these people that, whether they're on the radio or on the news or on the TV, that really have no idea. If you've never been on the sideline coaching a game or playing in a game, you really don't have any idea. There's no nobody comes running up to me with a video of a player and how he's reacting to getting hit in the head. That's not the same thing as seeing a replay of a guy catching a ball on the sideline. Like, that might be the dumbest statement I've ever heard.
So there he goes. He's Mike brought it up as almost saying, people have asked this question about all the replays, right? And
yeah.
Like, we were talking about it right about when Bill O'Brien perhaps might have been, like, either driving into work if he was coming in a little later. Because I think we're talking about it at 6:30 a.m. or so.
Yes.
Or maybe he was taking a break and on the treadmill or something like that. But
no.
if I recall properly, Mike,
I don't think O'Brien's been on the treadmill much this season.
Look, no, he runs. Those guys all run. It's just a matter of this. Kids, listen to what I tell you.
Runs to McDonald's.
The exercise isn't what helps you stay trim. It's what you put in your mouth. That's what helps you stay trim. I think this happens all the time, though, because what happened was Mike Meltzer asked that question. And then I answered by saying that's ridiculous. Basically the same thing Bill O'Brien just said. And I think Mike agreed with me, did he not?
I think he did, but sometimes when Mike presents what people are saying, he doesn't quite present it as whether he agrees or disagrees. So maybe Bill O'Brien thought that Mike was saying that, but I know for a fact Mike doesn't agree with that. But Bill O'Brien's absolutely right. The criticism he's gotten for this, we'll be the first show to criticize Bill O'Brien when he deserves it. But when you have paid medical professionals in charge of evaluating quarterbacks when they have concussions, a head coach has way too much going on to even be responsible for this. Once they're cleared, either they play or they don't. That's the end of it. I don't understand this forced criticism of Bill O'Brien on the concussions.
Well,
I don't get it at all.
This is what I don't like, though, either, is that the NFL deserves a lot of scrutiny. But then I see Mike Florio yesterday wrote a piece on Pro Football Talk criticizing John Mara for saying that mistakes were made in the protocol. And, like, I don't know... Like, the NFL is coming out, and representatives from the NFL are coming out and saying, like, okay, obviously this needs to get better. We made a mistake here. We got to be sure we hammer it out. But I feel like people are so convinced, or they're so hungry for there to be a conspiracy or a cover-up or something, that even when somebody is very transparent about it, they act like they're covering something up. I don't know if I've ever quite seen anything like it. And I'll agree that the NFL screws up a whole lot on the PR side of everything. But in this situation, both between people criticizing Bill O'Brien with having people who don't even bother to read a simple article about what the concussion protocol actually is. It's like, okay, we don't know all the details of exactly what goes on under the tent and everything, but, like, it's been written about ad nauseum how it works, that it's an independent advisor, that coaches don't have anything to do with pulling the player out. And yet, every time something happens, it turns into, well, boy, Jeff Fisher, you're a moron. How could you not see that Case Keenum? Oh, Bill O'Brien, you're a moron. You're evil. That's what's even worse. They're calling him evil and saying that they're throwing a guy out there because they assume that Bill O'Brien has seen 20 clips on Twitter the same way we have.
I wonder how much history would change if the concussion protocol, even though it does have some flaws right now, were what it was like in the 90s. Because I grew up watching Troy Aikman, Brett Favre. They used to get their ass kicked and look like Tom Savage almost every other play. And they would go right back on the field like it was nothing. And nobody would say a damn thing the next day. Nothing would be said.
You'd find out on Wednesday maybe that they had a concussion.
Maybe.
No, dude, I remember this one. I've looked for this. I've searched for this over and over again, and I cannot find it. Jim Kelly, after a game, it was in winter, and I remember it was in winter because they interviewed him after the game, and they asked him something about offensive adjustments at halftime, and his answer was something along the lines of like, well, yeah, we got the Christmas shopping done. The kids are excited about it, but you know how it is when you're kids, you're really excited for Christmas. And like went on to give three more answers just like that. He had a concussion, but he played the whole game and he played a hell of a game with that concussion.
How much do people really care is my question, because I live by the philosophy that if you give people a reason to complain, they're going to complain.
Yeah.
A lot of people are complaining about player safety, and they're talking about the NFL, and they're talking about why put these guys in jeopardy. I just wonder how many fans honestly care about the safety of these players and how many are just complaining just to complain.
Well, this is one of those things that I don't think people even want to admit it to themselves, perhaps. And maybe a lot of people don't feel this way, but I'll confess that part of me... Because, look, you have to take care of the players, you have to do all these things, and it's good that they're monitoring concussions, but just simply from an entertainment standpoint, there's part of you that's like, God, like, I'm getting sick of seeing four dudes pulled from a game in the middle of a game because of concussions. Now, there's nothing you can do about it. I'm not saying, like, that you have to force them to stay out there with concussions or something, but... When you remove all the emotion or any even morality from it, I guess, the end product is that on any given Sunday, there's a real good chance that you're going to lose your quarterback, you're going to lose offensive linemen, you're going to lose guys to concussions that have been happening all along. And it was just we didn't know. We were ignorant about it. And that's affecting the product on the field. And it's for the best. Long term, and it's for the best for the health of the players, but it's frustrating for people to have to see that.
And I don't watch football for violence, but I will say that I do watch it, and part of the appeal is just how much of a group of warriors these players are. Like, part of the appeal is this guy's getting his ass kicked and he's still going out there and competing. I'm not saying it's like cockfighting or anything like that, but I mean, when football players are going out there and they're doing stuff and they're enduring pain that few people can endure, part of the appeal is that when I see a quarterback get his bell rung and then go back out there the next play, it's appealing and it is part of the attraction.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'll tell you though, as far as quarterbacks go, I think ultimately it ends up being good for the legacy of a quarterback as long as he doesn't suffer multiple concussions because of so many. I just wonder, going back through history, how many horrendous quarterback performances were simply
because
that the guy had a concussion or he'd had a concussion the week before. You look at Hoyer versus the Chiefs in the playoffs here. I grow more and more convinced every time I think about it that he definitely was still suffering from a concussion. Landry, he spent that entire 2 weeks that he was out, or however long he was out, basically prepping for the concussion tests.
It was like the worst.
He was doing brain games. He was doing all this stuff and everything. And he got out there. He passed the protocol, but he got out there.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, as bad as Hoyer could be at various times, he was never as bad as that was. And it's just... Common sense would tell you it had something to do with a concussion, and it's nobody's fault. It's just that our testing methods aren't good enough yet. And he bucked the system enough, in my opinion, to get back out there on the field, and it ended up running him out of town. If he'd never had that, if he had just missed that game with concussion, if he was still in the protocol and the Texans lose, I think he's back here the next year. Because we'd won games with Brian Hoyer. They would have figured out a way to try to get somebody else in there, but I don't think he's run out of town on a rail the way he was.
Now he's Tom Brady's personal stretcher. He stretches Tom Brady out at between plays. Speaking of Brian Hoyer, I'm going to ask you this right now. TJ Yates getting the start Sunday. We'll hear from him in headlines. He has four career wins as the Texans starting quarterback. He needs one in the remaining three games to tie Brian Hoyer for all time in wins? Does TJ Yates tie the great Brian Hoyer in wins?
Oh boy, I don't think he does. But the thing is, he would be far and away the emotional tiebreaker in that scenario. If people are to say, like, how does this guy make you feel? How does this 5-win quarterback make you feel? And then they say Brian Hoyer or TJ Yates. Everybody's going to TJ Yates. That's like 95%. Are going to favor TJ Yates, if not more, because of the manner in which he's stepped in.
He's a folk hero.